Blog Talk Radio. But God bless you. God bless you. This is Apostle Flowers. Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders International Block Talk Radio. You're listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In. I'm your host on tonight. I'm on every first and third Mondays at 8 p.m. I want to thank God for my internet listeners, landline listeners, those that are listening by cell phone as well. Thank God for you. As always, I want you to be in high expectation. I thank God for my wife, Prophetess Angel Flowers. Amen. Our ministry is Repair the Breach International Ministries, and we thank God for you. It's always a blessing to bring you the Word of God. I want to thank God for Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders International. Thank God for the work that she's doing, and also Evangelist Hannah and those that are working with her behind the scenes. I ask that you continue to keep them in prayer and just stay upon your watch. And intercession for them, and especially the work that they're doing, and they up, I believe every day, 5 o'clock in the morning, have a conference prayer line, and praying for the saints of God, praying for the people of God, and I believe they're praying for those like you, the listeners like you here on Block Talk Radio, that is listening here on Kingdom Builders, that is tuned in. You receive breakthroughs, and that God begin to move in your life and turn things around, and also that you will be blessed as well, and that you'll live a victorious life, amen. Amen, and that you have someone standing in the gap for you. And thank God for prayer and intercession, because that's what prayer and intercession is all about. When you are feel like this bound up by me, and the enemy got you bound, you're going through, and your mind is not really focusing on prayer because you're focusing on what you're going through and what's happening, you know, in your life. The enemy kind of like got your mind on that and distracted. So thank God for intercessors, that you have someone praying for you, interceding for you, and standing in God for you as if they were you. So that's what intercession is. It's someone else that is standing in your place as if they were you, praying on your behalf. And thank God, because remember, somebody prayed for you. You remember the old song, somebody prayed for me, they had me on their mind, they took a little time and prayed for me. Well, that's true. Somebody took some time and prayed for you. Now, whether you knew them or whether they told you they were praying for you or not, somewhere, somehow, somebody got somebody praying for you and standing in the gap for you. Thank God, you know, that our God is not a selfish God, and that he has you in mind, and that he deals with his people, that we are saints of God, and those of us that are of the kingdom, that we're not thinking about ourselves, but we're thinking on the things of others and praying for others. When you look at other type of religions that's not of God, that are false religions, you know, they all about self. They're not really thinking about anybody else. They think about evil. They're thinking about bewitching people and leading them to hell, basically. And keeping them in darkness, because there's a fight, a warfare going on in the heavenlies. You know, the enemy knows that his time is short, and so what he's doing, he's warfaring, amen, with in the heavenlies with the angels of the Lord that God has assigned to you, amen, to see if he can win the battle against God, because that's what the enemy thinks, that he thinks that he can win, but he don't know that it's already been written in Revelation that it says that we win. So we already win, but the only thing is that we have to stand and fight. Jesus already finished it when he hung on the cross, And he said, it is finished. He finished what he had to do, but we have to carry out what God has sent us here to do. But before I go any further, I just want to go into some prayer. We're going to get right into the Word of God with the time I do have. So, Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua, the Messiah. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for this day that you have made, God. You said, rejoice and be glad in it. And, Lord, we will bless you at all times, and your praises shall continue to be within our mouth. In spite of, God, what we may be going through, in spite of difficulties in our life, God, despite the opposition of the enemy, despite of how the enemy were using those to work against us, God, but Lord, you work all things out and together for our good. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would begin to strengthen the people of God, that you begin to release a supernatural strength upon those that have been feeling wearied and tired and drained and almost ready to throw in the towel and feeling discouraged and despondent, and the enemy have caused confusion to come in, but your word declares that you're not the author of confusion. So I rebuke the spirit of confusion right now, and I loose the peace of God right now that surpasses all understanding to those that are listening under the sound of my voice. And Father, I pray right now, God, in the name of Jesus, let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened on tonight, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that someone that needs to hear a word from you, Lord, will receive that word from you on tonight, God, with clarity. Someone that is looking for direction on tonight, God, let them get their direction that they're looking for through the word of God on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, let prophetic utterance be stirred up on tonight. Let revelation knowledge flow, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, without you, I can do nothing. So, Lord, I humble myself before you, and I ask that you would speak through me and ask me, Lord, help me to articulate your word unto the hearers on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I release the anointing that breaks and destroys every yoke, God, in the name of Jesus, on tonight, Lord. And then let your fire be released, God, in the name of Jesus, that your all-consuming fire, your fire, Lord, to burn up the dross, in the name of Jesus, to burn up sickness, to burn up disease, to burn up everything that is not like you, to burn up the works of darkness, in the name of Jesus, that have been trying to be in operation in the people of God's life, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you will cause your people, cause us to bear forth good fruit, abundance of fruit, God, in the name of Jesus. Not your intent, God, to do us harm, Lord. That is not what you come to do, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But, Lord, your thoughts towards us are of good and not of evil. I rebuke the lie of the enemy, saying that God did this to me, and God took this person from me, and I'm in this situation because of God, and I just rebuke the lies of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Every lie of the devil, those voices, the voices that have gone out in 1 John and 4 speaks of, in the name of Jesus, I bind those spirits and I send them back to the pits of hell in the name of Jesus. And I declare the good shepherd's voice be heard on tonight, and the voice of a stranger, Lord, we your people shall not and will not follow in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now my apostolic and prophetic dimension be released on this line on tonight in the name of Jesus and in the airways, God. Father, I pray right now impartation take place, Lord, activation, Lord, the gifts be stirred up on the inside of your people that have been lying doormat in the name of Jesus, Lord. Clarity concerning ministry, though you have called to ministry, God, they begin to receive the charge, begin to move forward, God. I command this just right now that the spirit of discouragement to go right now in the name of Jesus, intimidation to go right now where the enemy has been intimidating you through others concerning ministry and making you feel like that you're not called and making you feel like that you don't have the knowledge and the education and so on. But God has chosen you. God has ordained you. God qualified you. And I want to encourage you on tonight to get up and do what God called and chosen you to do in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray right now, let the mantle of deliverance be released in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, God. Lord, I just decree and declare supernatural miracles begin to take place in the lives of your people, Lord, those that are listening under the sound of my voice, God, those that need a miracle from you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise on tonight, Lord. I thank you for doing it for your people, God, on tonight. In the name of you, thank you for salvation on tonight, God, in the name of you, drawing those by your spirit, because can no man come except you draw them, Father. In the name of you, I thank you for drawing them, drawing your love, drawing loved ones right now that need salvation and needs to be saved, drawing them by your spirit, God, in the name of you, that they're hearing the call of salvation and coming. Lord, I ask that you will break up the stony hearts, God, and give those a heart of flesh, God, those that have been wounded in the church, God, those that have been wounded by leaders, God, in the name, and they turned away, God, I just speak healing right now, that you begin to heal them, God, in their emotions, God, heal them of their scars and of their wounds, because there are those that have been staying away from the church because of things that they have seen and because of scandals. And but your word declares that we must search out our own salvation with fear and trembling, that we cannot let that stop us, because we're going to have to give an account for ourselves in the day of judgment. And Lord, I pray that your people begin to shake off the dust and begin to go somewhere where you're calling them, where you're leading them, in the house of God, Lord, and be planted there, that they may grow and that they may flourish and be healed and be delivered and begin to move forward in the things of you and not stay away from the house of God, because your word declares our inheritance is among those whom are sanctified. And Lord, we thank you because you said you're coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. We know that there's no perfect church, God, but you're perfecting the church. You're perfecting those things that concern us, Lord. And we thank you for it, and we praise you for the blood of the Lamb, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you and we praise you right now for hearing and for answering prayer. We thank you for testimonies. We thank you for praise reports, God, for your people, God. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God, amen. And amen. Well, God bless you, saints of God. I want to go ahead and just get right into the Word of God with the time that I do have, because I know time gets away so fast when you're in the Word of God and when you're in the Spirit and you're ministering under the Holy Ghost. At times you kind of like, you know, kind of like lose track of time and everything. But I want to be mindful of the time and everything, and I want to make sure that you get the Word and get what God has to say unto you on tonight. God wants you to be strengthened. God wants you to be encouraged. God wants you to know your devil, the adversary, who goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom that he may devour. I'm here to let you know tonight the enemy cares nothing for you, for your family, your children. He does not discriminate. He don't care what color you are, what background you come from, what nationality you are. He does not discriminate. I know here in this natural realm, here in this world system, you know, you have discrimination going on, you have racism going on. Some places may not be open racism, but you have that silent type of prejudice, that silent type of racism going on, you know, which hurts, you know, the most, because you are unaware of it and everything like that. But what I'm saying here, it's in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, amen, the enemy, that's what he comes to do. He comes to divide and he comes to conquer and he comes to bring division and contention and separation among the body. I'm not talking about just here in this, the natural world system, how the world acts, you know, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, let me get revenge and let me step on anybody that I can just to make it to the top, to get this position. I don't care who, you know, who I hurt. I don't care who lose their jobs and so on. I just don't care, long as I make it, me, myself, and I, my four, and no more. You know, we are living in a dog-eat-dog type of world, and even though we have the recession and so on, all these various different things that are going on, this is a great time for the church. But the only way that it can be a great time is for those that are not ignorant of Satan's devices. I know you have some denominations that will say, well, it don't take all that, you know, concerning spiritual warfare. You don't need to do all that. All you're doing is you stirring up trouble. You stirring up when you talk about demons and devils and so on. That's the whole trick of the enemy right there. He don't want you to know. Yes, there's a balance. There's a balance with it. We believe in balance, but at the same time, we believe in not being ignorant. I mean, because we do have a real adversary out there that's out there. Because some people, they have perished because of lack of knowledge, according to Hosea. Yes, the Word of God said, my people perished because of lack of knowledge. God would not have spoken that. God would not have said that. Even though you hear in the Word, it say, what you don't know don't hurt you. Yes, it do hurt you. Now, if you don't know if somebody left a will for you, written you in their will, and he left a trust fund for you, and you didn't have knowledge of it, so how are you able to obtain this trust fund or get this will that was left to you if you didn't have no knowledge of it? So how can you access it? See, you would have to have knowledge about it, and so that you can be able to gain access to it, and so that you can get this inheritance that was left for you. But if you don't have no knowledge of it, then you just out of luck. You just don't Well, let me say this. I know that's a worldly term saying, you know, out of luck. Well, you just missed out on your blessing. But that's how the world would say, you know, you're out of luck, whatever. But you just missed out on your blessing because of you not knowing and not having knowledge of it. And also, just say, if when you go into a restaurant and it says that employees that work in the restaurant, they're supposed to wash their hands before they go back into the kitchen, when they go and use the washroom to prepare, you know, before they go and prepare your food or handle any food. There's supposed to be signs posted up in the washroom area stating that they practice that all employees must wash hands before, you know, leaving out and so. What if they didn't post the signs up there? The signs was supposed to have been posted up there, and you have employees that go in there, they don't wash they you know their hands, and they go and they handle your food, and then you get sick because of it, and that all goes to back to you know a lack of knowledge, not you know not knowing and everything, because there's a sign and stuff that's supposed to be posted in any other restaurant that you may have been in, and you saw that sign posted up, but you go into this particular restaurant and they didn't have anything posted up about washing your hands. Employees wash your hands before you go out into the kitchen and everything like that. And so you happen to go in here, but because of you not having knowledge of it and the person going and doing this, you're not being aware of it as they do with the media and so on and everything, making it aware of, because people have died from food poisoning. People have died from people unclean hands and not, you know, wash their hands and stuff like that after they've been in the washroom and they handle food. So that's why they have to post it up. It's to protect you. And it's the same thing when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God is to protect us. And spiritual warfare is to protect us from danger and protect us concerning, you know, our life. See, that's why the Word of God says, you know, he keeps us. He keeps us from danger, seen and unseen. There's some dangers that you don't even know about that God keeps you from. If God was to show you, it would just literally blow your mind. But thank God for his protection. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his hands being upon us, the people of God. But again, the Word of God, Paul talks about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal. You hear that? But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that tells you right there that we are in a spiritual battle, and that the weapons that that God has given us, that Jesus Christ has left behind for us, given us that authority to use, is against the enemy. Now, if the enemy, Satan, was fighting with Jesus, come trying to tempt Jesus and coming at certain seasons to come up against Jesus through religious leaders, and even Satan came himself to come up against Jesus and try to, you know, attack him and tempt him and all these various things. So what makes us think that we are exempt? So don't believe the hype, but believe teachings that it don't take all that, and you don't need to just, if you just leave the devil alone, don't bother him, then he won't bother you. That's a lie from the pits of hell. If you leave the devil alone, you're talking about you're going to leave the devil alone and don't bother him. But even though you don't bother him, he's still going to bother you. He's still going to bother one of your loved ones. That's why we have drugs. That's why there are those that are bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, bound by the spirit of perversion. Now, there are many types of things that are tied with the root, which is called perversion, and sexual perversion, homosexuality, and various things that are tied with perversion. At the end, you have those that are bound. You have the enemy bound, those that are bound with anger and a murdering spirit. There are so many things that you see every day. If you look through your family line, divorce and so on, those are the works of the enemy. That's the works of darkness. You think God comes to put sickness on people? You think God comes to break up a marriage, break up a home, break up a family? You think God comes to cause that your son or your daughter to run away from home or to enter into jail, the penitentiary, the prison system? You think that's God, the one that is causing all the males in the family line, when they get a certain age in the family, 30, 40 years old, to die? Most of the men in your family, when they hit about 30, 9, 40 years old, they died of a heart attack, or the women in the family died of ovarian cancer or some type of cancer at a certain age and so on. You think that's the work of God. That's the work of the devil. That's the work of the enemy right there. So that's why we cannot be ignorant. You have people that would give up, throw in the towel, and agree with the devil and gone on and die and leave this world, knowing that, not knowing that God has given them as a believer power and authority against the enemy, that they don't have to accept that sickness, they don't have to accept that disease. You have those that are believers that the doctor have diagnosed and sent them home in hospice care to die, but because they did not have the understanding of spiritual warfare, some of them, they just go ahead and just go on and disagree with, you know, with what the enemy is saying, the works of the enemy is saying, and just accept their fate and just go head on and just, you know, just die. And even those that in a situation that your bank account may say different, you may be in the negative in your bank account. You can be on the verge of about to lose your home, repossession, or be evicted from your apartment, or your foreclosure of your home, or repossession of your car, and so on, and everything. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't have to agree with what the enemy is trying to do in this natural realm, because you are of the kingdom, and all you have to do is stand upon the word of God and what the word is saying, and begin to declare and decree, amen, the word of God, that you don't have to accept that, that you're not going to believe the report of the enemy, but you're going to believe the report of the Lord. You don't have to take everything negative that the enemy is trying to speak to you and say to you through others, but you have to defy the odds, amen, through the kingdom of God by standing in faith, regardless of what the enemy is trying to say, what you cannot do, amen, but God said that I can, because the word of God said that I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. Hallelujah. Somebody need to run with that. Somebody need to stand upon that. Somebody need to use that against the enemy. I'm talking about your situation. I'm not talking about you can do all things, that you can go and fly an airplane or something, because you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you, and you don't have no training in flying an airplane, or no education or no hours or flying and stuff. I'm not talking about that. I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me in that sense. I'm talking about in the situation that you are in right now, that you're facing right now, amen, that God can give you the strength and the supernatural ability to be able to stand and to weather through the storm of what the enemy has been trying to blow your way, regardless of what it looked like with your natural eye. That's what I mean by that you can do all things through Christ that strengthen you, because it's Christ, amen, is the one that strengthens you, because he said in his word that whatever you lay your hands forth to do, that he will prosper, that he will bless it. And that's what you got to speak, and that's what you got to decree, beloved, regardless of what the natural is looking like. It may look like the opposite. Like I said, your bank account may look like it's in the negative, look like you're just barely getting by, but remember what the word of God said, that you're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out, and that he will make you the head and not the tail. You got to begin to stand upon the word of God and begin to put God in remembrance of his word and what he said concerning his word. No, it's not that God, if God is forgetful, no, but God said, want to see, amen, that you have his word on the inside of you, and by you having his word on the inside of you, and you speaking his word, because he only hears his word, and you're putting, that's what he means by putting him in remembrance of his word, amen, and saying that, God, I know your word declares that you are God that cannot lie, knowing you're the Son of Man, that you're not like us, that you must repent, that you said it, that you're going to do it. You got to put God in remembrance of what he had promised you, because you are in covenant with God, and God is in covenant with you, and you've been doing all that you know how in your walk, even though it seemed like things been hard pressed, it seemed like you're between a rock and a hard place. It seems like things have been working against you. It seems like the more that you pray and the more that you read your word and the more you've been trying to go after the things of God and stay faithful, it seems like things are being worse and worse. But I tell you, you're just right at the door. You're right at the midst of your breakthrough. See, the enemy wants you to see that picture. He's trying to paint a picture that is not working out. God is not hearing you. You might as well give up. You might as well stop. You might as well back up. The more I pray, it seems like the more things are getting worse. It seems like the more the children are acting up, and the more this is happening and that is happening. The enemy trying to make an attempt on my life. See, that's an assignment of the enemy to try to intimidate you, to try to get you to back up for what you're doing, because what you're doing damage to his kingdom. You're hurting his kingdom. And so what he's trying to do, trying to shake things up around you to get you to back up and to get you to withdraw yourself. But don't do it because you're breaking through. And the enemy, he can only do what he's doing to you only for a season. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't listen to what the enemy is trying to speak through others to you, contrary, negative. As the word of God say, don't believe the hype. Stand in there, like the world say, don't believe the hype. Stand in there. Don't be like Job. Don't listen to Job's friends. If you don't believe me, ask Job. These were supposed to have been his buddies, his best friends. Amen. In the Lord, men of God. You would think they would have came to pray for him in this situation. You would think they would have came to encourage him. But if you have a religious mindset, if your mind is not of the kingdom, automatically, you know, you begin to look at someone when they're going through something in the church, automatically they sin. Automatically, we holler at somebody sin. Automatically, they done wrong because they lost this. They getting evicted out of their house. The car broke down. They lost their job. You need to repent. There's something that you must have did wrong. You sinned against God. That's a religious mindset. That's a person that does not have understanding of the kingdom, understanding of the spiritual things of God. That's why the word of God said, no man after the flesh, but after the spirit. These things are spiritually discerned. But you have those that are walking around religious and not having a mind set of the kingdom, not being able to discern and walking in love and walking in compassion and encouraging, but automatically they're condemning you. Automatically they're judging you. Automatically they're saying you went wrong somewhere. That's why all this stuff came upon you. And this is what Job's buddies were saying to him. Men of God, they were supposed to pray for him. They were supposed to encourage him. But except they turned around and said that he did something wrong. That's why all this stuff has happened to him. That's why all the stuff that came upon him. And God whooped them for it, too. And guess what? They end up had to, Job end up had to pray for them. And then they end up had to bless him because of it. And God was upset with them because they did not know how to judge properly. They didn't judge it right. They didn't judge his situation right. They automatically judged that he did something wrong. And I want to encourage you on tonight, man of God. I want to encourage you on tonight, woman of God. Amen. Don't listen to what religious folks have to say that you did something wrong, or they're backing up from you, or they're condemning you, they're tearing you down, and then they're not looking through the eyes of God concerning your situation. You know that you don't fall into that. Don't allow the enemy to trick you, to trick your mind and say, to agree with that and begin to say, well, you know what, I think I must have went wrong somewhere in my life. I must have sinned. I must have did something wrong. If you've been seeking the Lord, you've been praying, you've been faithful in the things of God, and you're giving of yourself, your time, your talent, your resource, doing walking uprightly before the Lord the best that you know how, do not listen to or fall in agreement with what the enemy is trying to say concerning you, that you did something wrong and did something that you must have did wrong. That's why things are turning to mud. Everything that you touch is God is building character in you. God is building faith in you. God is taking you to the next level, not the next level. Let me change it. God is taking you to the next dimension in him and the things of you. God is preparing you for the next phase in ministry. God is getting ready to release, hallelujah, a great anointing upon those of you that are listening under the sound of my voice. That's why you've been going through what you've been going through in your life, because God is beginning to is about to get ready and open up some doors of opportunity, some avenues for you concerning ministry or concerning the things of him. God is about to get ready and bless some of you that are listening under the sound of my voice because you endured and you withstood the test. And like as you heard me say, the enemy only have the season to do what he's doing in your life, then he has to go. Resist the devil, as the word of God say, then he shall flee. But at the same time, God don't want you to be ignorant of Satan's devices. The word said, iron sharpens iron. So you got to stay around those that will be encouraging, those that will be able to speak strength and life in you when it seemed like you got, you know, beat up and the cares of this life seem to want to try to creep in and try to knock the wind out of you. Amen. You got to begin to let God begin to breathe his ruach, his breath, his life, amen, upon you. Begin to release Zoe life, within you. God is about to get ready to cause a second wind to come forth in you. You're about to get up like that boxer. You know how when the boxer begin to go all these many rounds, many of you familiar with boxing, and then, you know, they get tired as they begin to get go later into the rounds, the fourth and the fifth round and the sixth round, and, you know, they're dragging out, you know, they're not as coming out as, you know, strong and fast and as they was in the first, second, and third round. And, you know, the fighters, both tied, but then one of the fighters, all of a sudden, a second wind began to kick in. And then next thing you know, they began to gain their momentum. They begin to gain strength and speed and agility, and they begin to move fast, and then they begin to overcome, you know, their opponent. And then that's, you know, boom, 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 and they knock them right out. God said you're about to get ready and get your second win. You're about to knock the enemy right out. And this is not the time, amen, to give up, to let the coach throw in the towel, you know, in the fight. You know, a lot of times it look like a person is getting beat up real bad. He's like, you know, throw in the towel. This is not the time to throw in the towel. The word of God declares that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And what is a standard? A standard is a banner. A banner saying that he is mine. She is mine. They already have the victory. They have already won. Not a banner saying that I retreat. You know, I surrender, retreat, surrender, I surrender. No, no, not one of those, wait, one of those flags, one of those banners. No, but a banner, when God raised up that standard, which is a banner, saying that you already won, that you already have the victory. When the enemy thinks that he's coming in like a flood on you, God is letting you know that you already won. Hallelujah. Be encouraged on tonight, man of God. Be encouraged on tonight, woman of God. Be encouraged on tonight, pastor. Be encouraged, my sister. Be encouraged in the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. In Matthew 16 chapter, hallelujah. I know I don't have that much time. I didn't get a chance to really get into the word, but I'm just going as the Spirit of God is leading me on tonight. But in Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? The question was asked. Jesus was asking this question, and they said some, verse 14, and they said some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? So Jesus asked this question. First he asked a twofold question here. He said, first of all, who do men say that I am? And they began to say, name of the names that you just heard right here through the word of God. Then he went on to ask and say that, who do you say that I am? Now the disciples been with Jesus all this time, and Jesus only, you know, knew that he only had a short time with his ministry. He went up into the mountains, you know, went and prayed all night because the Father told him to go and pray that he may pick out the 12 and that he's going to work with them closely. And, you know, Jesus, you know, he did that. And the disciples, they saw the miracles of Jesus, and they saw him perform these miracles. They saw him teach the multitude. They saw him preach, and even things that they did not understand, the parables, he would privately share with them, the meaning of the parables and so on. But Jesus knew that his time was just really getting close, and he really wanted them to see, I can imagine he's probably like, do they really know who I am? I don't think they really know who I am. And so they really need to know who I am before, because my time is shorter. I'm going to be leaving here soon. I've been with them, and then I've worked with them. Jesus, remember, Jesus gave them authority, sent them out by twos to cast out devils and to, you know, lay hands on the sick and you know, to move in signs and wonders. This was even before even the Holy Ghost was even released. It was no need, because Jesus, God incarnated in the flesh inside of Jesus, was among them. So there was no need of the Holy Spirit during that time while Jesus was with the disciples, while he was working with them. And so, you know, some would say, well, you know, how is it that they was able to cast out devils up? Because the Lord God gave them the authority to be able to do so. He's God. So that's why they was able to do what they were able to do. So, but anyway, Jesus needed them and wanted them to know, you know, for them to have the understanding, do they know who he is? And so, with that being said, in the 16th verse, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So I want to say according to the word here, because of this revelation that Peter got from God that was revealed concerning who Jesus Christ was, you know, his deity, you know, that he, you know, that he was the Son of God. Amen. That he was part of the Godhead, and with that being known, with that being revealed, and the Lord chose Peter, and that's why he said unto Peter, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So he was letting Peter know. That goes back to when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And that goes back to that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. The weapon can form, but it shall not prosper. When you're marked by God, when you're chosen by God, but you have to understand that you were chosen by God before the foundations of this earth, before the foundation of this world, before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. God had already mapped out your life and everything you, when you got saved and you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you just really start coming into the knowledge and understanding of it that I have a call upon my life, or that God has called me and chosen me to do something. You're just coming into the knowledge of it. Because remember, you were first walking in darkness. And so now that you're in light, walking in the light of God, amen, you're a born-again believer, and the light is turned on, you're not walking in darkness, and now that understand that you have a purpose, that God has called you for a purpose. And what are you saying, Apostle Flowers? What I'm saying is that you're not here just to be here. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. Amen. If you are a born-again believer, if you are a saint of God, if you are a Christian, and you are in the things of God, you are the kingdom, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And so when the enemy knows that, that's why God don't want us to be ignorant of Satan's devices, that the enemy is going to come up against you. So did not the enemy come up against Peter when that revelation was revealed from Peter concerning Jesus Christ, concerning his deity, concerning him being the Son of God? And any time when your eyes are open, when a revelation is revealed unto you, you're subject for attack by the enemy. The enemy is going to come and try to discourage you. The enemy is going to come to try to get you to back up from the things of God, or say this Christian walk, the Christian way is just too hard. I cannot do this. It just seems like too much opposition. It seems like too much stuff is happening. I've just been better off in the world. Seems like things are going well for me in the world since before I came into the things of God. That's the lie of the enemy. Let me tell you, the enemy already had you when you were in the world. So there would have really been no need for him to really bother you, because why, he already had you. You were already on your way to hell. And so now that you have come into the light, and you're was born out of the system of this world into the God's system, the kingdom's system, and that you're walking in the light now, and that you can see, amen, the darkness, and that how the enemy had you in darkness and everything like that. And so that's why you heard me say earlier that when Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to pull down the strongholds. So that's why we have to use the weapons of our warfare against the enemy, because the enemy is going to come. So here in this passage, we see that the enemy, that Jesus saw, and he knew that the enemy was going to come after Peter. Now right here, it says here in the 19th verse, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So why did Jesus give Peter the keys to the kingdom? Because he knew that he's going to encounter some spiritual warfare. He knew that he was going to need this authority, amen, to use against the enemy, the adversary, the devil. See, that as you heard me say, that the deception of the enemy is to have the people of God, those that is not too much familiar with spiritual warfare, or when it comes to, you know, that's high wrestling against the unseen realm. I'm talking about demonic spirits and forces, and those that are into witchcraft, and all these various things are operating out of the works of the flesh and out of darkness and so on, everything. The biggest deception of the enemy and the lie of the enemy is want those to believe that he don't exist, and that to leave him alone. Basically, that's what he wants you to do, is to leave him alone. You know, I remember Apostle John Eckhart had wrote a book on "Let Us Alone," the demon spirit that don't want you to be want you to bother them, or they want to stay housed because they use vessels. Just as God used vessels, the enemy used vessels to house himself in to do his will, and so that's why these demonic spirits want you to leave them alone. They don't want to be exposed, because what you're doing, you're bringing damage to the devil's kingdom. You're destroying his kingdom. When devils are cast out, when people are being delivered and loose from the bands of wickedness, from the yokes of the enemy, you're destroying Satan's demon, demonic spirits that are on assignment to wreak havoc in your life, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your home, to try to destroy you if possible. That's what he comes to do, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Those St. John 10:10 says that's all he comes to do. He don't care nothing about you, but that's all he comes to do. That's why God don't want you to be ignorant of his devices and be able to see what he is doing. And I only have a few more minutes left, and then we'll begin to close out. But if that was not true, why in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in the 31st and 32nd verse, the Lord said unto Simon, "Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail you not. And when thou art converted, strengthen." I like the Amplified version. It says, "Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and the keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren," the brethren. And that's what it's all about, us going back, strengthening our brothers, our sisters in Christ. That's why we're supposed to encourage one another. That's why we're supposed to pray for one another. And when God has caused us to overcome a thing or be delivered from a thing, and we're supposed to go back and strengthen the brother that may be bound up, or the sister that may be going through a thing that the enemy tried to have you bound up with, but because of the Lord breaking you free and bringing forth deliverance in your life, and now you can go and break your brothers and your sisters free and through, amen, with the anointing of God, upon your life. And so what you're doing, you're hurting the devil's kingdom. You're causing him to loose his grip off of those that are bound, have been bound by the enemy, or held in snare to the enemy. And so those demons that failed their assignment, that were sent out against you, you know, they get punished. They get punished for the failure of their assignment. And so that's why the Word of God talks about, I believe it's in Matthew, where it talks about when the unclean spirit is going out from a man, from that house. It goes away, and the house is swept clean and empty. But if there's nothing there occupying that house, if that house has just stayed empty, if you're not reading the Word, if you're not praying, and so once you've gotten your deliverance and once you got your breakthrough, but now you're not reading the Word, you're not praying, you're not consecrating yourself, you're not maintaining your deliverance. And so what the enemy does is he goes and find seven spirits greater than him, and come back and see if your house is empty. And if it's empty, if you ain't been praying, if you ain't been fasting, you just left it empty, you've been carnal, and what happened? That man's state is going to be worse. His last state is going to be worse than the first state, as the word of God said. This is real, saints of God. Why do you think you have those in mental institutions going crazy? Because they're bound by demons. It's not that, you know, mental, you know, illness and so on and everything. I guarantee you, if you call and cast those spirits out of them, they will be in their right mind. Those that have been bound, I've heard testimonies of those that are great apostles now, men of God, and that have, the enemy has caused them into a to go insane and end up in a mental institute, and God delivered them, and God have used them to pioneer and to establish and to build churches and to write books and to travel the globe and to share their testimony, what God has done. Well, saints of God, sorry my time is up. I'm sorry I won't be able to get into the rest of the word. I pray that you were blessed and encouraged on tonight. I pray that you will strengthen and begin to undergird yourself with more of the word of God and consecration, and also being not ignorant of Satan's devices and getting more in an understanding of spiritual warfare and balance in your life, and not living your life nonchalant and just agreeing with everything that just happened in your life negatively. Don't do it. Don't do so. I want to encourage you. Don't agree with the enemy. You don't have to agree with that, because you are of the kingdom now. You utilize that authority that God has given you. And whether you may be going through in your body, man, you don't have to agree what you're going through in your body. Just say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I don't agree with this, even though my grandmother may have died from this, or high blood pressure or heart problem or whatever the physical ailment may be, then you don't have to agree with it. I fall out of agreement with it, because Jesus was made a curse for me, according to Galatians 3:13. Begin to stand on the word of God. That's spiritual warfare right there, because you're using the word of God against the enemy. So you're not agreeing with what the enemy is trying to do. I'm talking to someone now that you lost everything. You lost everything. And God is about to restore you. God said, keep fighting, keep decreeing, keep prophesying, keep calling for that which be not as though it were. Amen. God's going to give it back to you double and more. This was something that you had to go through. The Lord wants you to know on tonight, because God is preparing you for greater. And I even see you right now, where, because God had to change your mindset concerning how you have been handling things. And now there was a paradigm shift in your thinking. And now you're going to begin to do things as God begin to bring restoration in your life. You're going to begin to handle things differently. You're going to begin to handle your resources differently. And you're going to be more blessed. I hear you said, I'm going to be more of a blessing and finance the kingdom, and more of a help and a blessing to those that are in need. God has changed your thinking this time on how you're going to handle that which God is going to cause you to come into, because it's going to be some great money, some great wealth that you're about to get ready and to come into. Amen. Well, since God, my time is up, but before I leave you, I want those of you that may not know the Lord, who want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you may be a backslider. I just want you to repeat after me, just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you just said that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. Amen. And you just, and those of you that just rededicated your life back to the Lord, welcome back. Amen. Prodigal son, prodigal daughter, welcome back. The Lord loves you, and God got great things in store for you. So I want to encourage you, again, tune in on the third Monday of this month at 8 p.m. I believe my wife, Prophetess Angel Flowers, will be ministering. I want you to tune in and listen to the dynamic woman of God, amen, and what the Lord has to say to the church through her and through her prophetic ministry, and thank God for her. But if you want to get in contact with me, you want to know about my service time, amen, we're located in Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City. And if you want to know where we're having service at, you can give me a call on our church line at area code 773-888-3356. That's area code 773-888-3356 for our service times, our service, and where we are having service at. So my time is far spent. God bless you. Again, this is Apostle Flowers. You have been listening to Restore of Paths to Dwell In broadcast, and also the pastor, senior pastor of Repair the Breach International Ministry, located here in the United States in Chicago, Illinois. As you heard me say, the great Windy City. Truly, hopefully, I hope that you were blessed and encouraged and strengthened on tonight and able to move forward in the things of God. And I want to leave you with this. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and shine his face upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord leave his peace with you, his shalom. For your enemies may rise up against you one way, they shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord cause your enemies to be your footstool, to be at peace with you, and even to bless you. And let the favor of the Lord surround you as like a shield. God bless you, and I love you, and good night.